Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 15 of season 4. This one is called First Contact. During an away mission to observe a pre-warp civilization, Commander Riker is injured and brought to a hospital, where the locals quickly realize that he's not from their world. This one was directed by Cliff Bohl. Teleplay goes to a bunch of names, including Dennis Russell Bailey, David Bischoff, Joe Manosky, Ronald D. Moore, and Michael Piller. The story credit goes to Mark Scott Zachary. It aired back on February 18th, 1991. Clay is stopping by to talk about this one. It's been a while. It's good to be back on the saddle, so buckle up for First Contact.
He took a severe blow. Possible trauma to the telencephalon.
Star 50 Noctis Quadrilling. We'll need a complete Del scan series.
Can't find his cardio organ.
What do you mean? I'm reading his steady circulation.
There it is, up here.
In his digestive tract?
You ever seen anything like this?
He's missing 3 costal struts on one side. And 4 on the other.
I think that's something. Look at this. His digits and his terminus.
What are you?
So I don't know if it's just that I haven't watched a lot of Star Trek recently, but I felt that the tone of First Contact was a very, it was a unique episode. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, you know, it was great to see Han and Chewie back in action.
That's right.
And so I'm sorry, I've been overwhelmed by Star Wars for the past 4 days.
It's all you can think about.
No, yeah, it's, this episode seems oddly, it seemed like the first time, okay, so what I really liked about it was, I feel like it was the first episode that really presented the Enterprise as aliens to a relatable race.
Yeah, I totally agree.
In a race who weren't just primitive idiots.
I thought that maybe even one problem was that the aliens were so human. In a way, like they even have weird lines where they're like, oh, most of our population is too busy watching like reality television and stuff. Like it was very clearly a sort of like, these are supposed to be humans. This is supposed to be a reaction of what humans would do if aliens appeared.
Yeah, they definitely took the opportunity to make a comment on the public at large through their fictitious alien race.
Yep. I like this episode. I think it's good. The it's another First Contact Prime Directive episode in a way. The Prime Directive is brought up a bunch. It's clever in that the aliens, the way that they are, is very human. It is sort of a flip flop, like you were saying. The perspective is mostly from the aliens' point of view, which I think is really clever. It also, what I was thinking about this episode is that it's a prime example of the problems that are inherent in a serial television series, where it's kind of like what happened in the episode that Riker is accused of murder. And my problem with that episode is that you know that Riker didn't commit the murder. So it's awkward that you have to go through this thing thinking it's him. They start to, you know, branch out and say that Riker was doing things that were uncharacteristic of Riker. And I was starting to think that maybe it would be better if they put unknown crewman number one in that role and he was accused of it. So you weren't quite so sure.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, okay. The problem here is that we know, like, we spend so much time with the Federation, the Enterprise, we know that their intentions are good.
Right.
So when the aliens start to freak out, you kind of don't believe them because you're like, oh, they're just being idiots. Like, the Federation is always friendly. Where the story really makes sense that a lot of the population would freak out by them. Mm-hmm. Because what they're doing is kind of, like, imagine if we on modern day Earth, we figured out that there were aliens living amongst us and we were like, are they influencing politics? Like, how big of a role are they having in what's going on here?
It would be like the movie They Live.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'd blow up their space station with a satellite or something.
Yeah.
I forget how the movie ends.
We'd chew bubblegum and kick some ass instead.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think that's kind of – it's like a weird problem that's inherent in getting to know characters on a show. You can't do a story like that as effectively.
Yeah, it's interesting because I thought the cold open was really good. It was very quick and just kind of got across some intrigue very quickly and easily. The thing that I found interesting about it was it did not go the way I thought it was going to go.
Just in terms of the cold open or the whole story?
Yeah, when they discovered Riker, I don't know if it was because I read the description wrong or something. I thought that it was going to be about Riker having amnesia or something and thinking that he was part of that culture.
Oh, I see.
And I'm glad it wasn't. But at the same time, I feel like the Riker B story didn't really have a lot going for it.
Yeah, he's kind of laid up a lot.
Yeah, so I agree with what you're saying, where I think there needed to be something a little more edgy aside from Riker never being able to turn down the opportunity to bang some alien chick.
I like that this was the first show that they were totally – it's a totally meta scene. It's like the writers are completely aware of what's going on. And I thought the actress was really good in that role. She was very funny.
I really enjoyed that. So you could tell that their writing has matured because his response to it is, I probably shouldn't do this. As opposed to the first season where it would be his idea.
Yes, he would have brought it up. Or he would have, him doing it would have enabled him to escape. You know, like a very James Bondy kind of thing. Like he'd have to have sex with her to get out. That is how it works here. Except she brings it up, and he's more acting like he's under a time crunch, and he's like, I really have to go. Our cultures make love differently.
I was hoping there was going to be like a payoff or something where it turned out they just shook hands or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like instead of just implying that no, they got down for a few minutes.
Or I guess you could, you know, if it ended on her being pregnant or something, you know, like it's like Riker's child is going to be the great ambassador to the new world or whatever. So what'd you think of the handling of the Prime Directive here?
Well, initially, I was really taken off guard by the whole idea because comparing it to First Contact the movie, which I hope to do later when we talk about First Contact.
Yep.
Immediately, I was taken aback a little bit that Picard shows up out of nowhere, unannounced, before this people manages to make light speed.
Yep.
Which is in the movie anyway. The explanation is once they break light speed, then they do the air introductions.
Yeah, it's a little backwards here. In this episode, they say once a species is about to do it, they make first contact.
Yeah, at first I thought, oh, well, maybe they just hadn't pinned that down. But he goes on to say, we had to speed things up because Riker is lost.
Right, yeah.
So the fact that they said that, I was like, all right, because otherwise I was going to be like, they are completely destroying the Prime Directive at this point.
Yeah. The thing I noticed is that the Prime Directive is like inherently hypocritical in some ways. Like, you know, Picard is going through these great sort of lengths to be like, oh, like we're all about non-interference.
Right.
It's very difficult to say that you're not interfering in a culture as you're talking to them about what is potentially going to happen to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of ludicrous to say that and then bring them onto your galaxy-class starship.
Right, yeah.
You know, and be like, by the way, all this is out here. Don't be weird about it.
We can't give you any of it, so don't ask.
We can't give you any of it.
This is what you could be into.
I liked how the leader there was actually asking some of these questions later on when he has that one-on-one with Picard.
Yep.
And because they you know, it is – I don't know if they've ever really addressed that before where it's like, well, why are you showing us this if you're basically proving to us that God exists but he won't help us
right.
when we need it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so you're introducing us to this larger world. But then you're saying, even though we have all of this greatly advanced technology that could probably cure every disease you have, we can't allow ourselves to just give it to you. Until the next episode, where the plot is, we're just helping this race on this planet we just landed on.
Right. And, so, and I mean, the other, like, does that mean that, is there some process where, are they using joining the Federation as a bit of blackmail? Like, if you join the Federation, do you not get access to all the shit right away? Or is
oh,
that,
I don't know.
Or yeah. is that the thing that they're like, well, if you join us, you know, you get to, we'll give you a replicator and all that good stuff.
I don't even know if Picard, unless I missed it, was he wasn't actively trying to recruit them. He was basically like, shit, I had an analogy for it.
I can't remember. He wasn't trying to get them into the Federation, you think, and he was just trying to get to know these people? Is that your?
Yeah, I thought it was more. It was less like, "Hey, do you guys want to join this Federation?" And more like, "Oh, by the way, you guys just leveled up. So right. here's the cutscene before you spend the next 200 years leveling up again.
You earned it. You earned it, guys. Yeah, it's a weird. I feel the better the Prime Directive episodes get, the more that you become aware of the holes in the Prime Directive as to how it's a weird sort of thing. I think this one is the best Prime Directive episode we've seen. I think it's better than Who Watches the Watchers, which is a good episode.
Was that the one with the guy from RoboCop?
Yes. And Riker and Troy go down to the planet?
Yeah.
Because Picard does the same thing there under slightly different circumstances, because that group is not ready at all to make first contact.
Right. It's actually an interesting episode to watch alongside this one, but I feel like, at least in my memory, that one doesn't deal with the interesting questions as well as this does.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Well, the other one is a bit more, they don't have to, because that race is clearly not ready for it. Like, mm-hmm. it's more about just kind of trying to save the day by, I think they were trying to rescue, the people that were observing. They were just trying to save them. Right. So I mean, their motivation is a little bit more clear there, where here they're on the border of telling these people about them.
It actually, when you say it that way, the plots are actually very similar.
They are. It's just the real difference is just this race is basically ready for first contact, where before they weren't at that point by a long stretch.
Right.
It's I like the character work in here. It's a pretty effective episode for the thing where it's just 45 minutes of a TV show and you have to quickly draw these characters together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is that actress familiar? Why do I feel like I know her? Do you know who that is?
The woman who was flirty with Riker?
No, the woman who joins the crew at the end.
Joins the crew never to be seen again.
Never to be seen.
I don't know. I can't remember. I think I looked her up, but I don't remember.
Okay. She looked familiar to me.
I can tell you, however, the guy who got the guy who blasted himself in the chest with the phaser.
Yes.
Is the manager of the Sedgwick Hotel from Ghostbusters.
Oh, really?
He's the guy who calls the Ghostbusters to trap Slimer.
That's good. I think he's kind of one of those actors. You're like, oh, it's that guy. I feel he's familiar. I feel he always has a mustache, just like that guy does.
Yep, yeah.
He's, I think he's pretty good, like, so I guess, what'd you think of the end? Do you think this is the way that the script had to go? They had to refuse to join, or at least get to know the Federation?
Well, I don't know. You should ask one of the 15 writers who wrote the script.
It is an entire screen of names when the writers come up with that one.
Which I don't know how I feel. I mean, because generally I feel like, at least in movies, that's a bad sign. But I feel like on Star Trek, at least in The Next Generation, those ones tend to be pretty good.
They do, yeah. And it was funny because it was off the story of one guy. So it's obvious it must have been a pitch that they got. And just went through several drafts, I'm assuming, and everyone gets their name attached to it. Because I can... Going back to the tone thing earlier, I think it feels unlike any other Star Trek TNG episode that I've seen so far. It's got a little bit of meta comedy in the Riker boning his way out of trouble.
Yeah,
that's the first time I feel that the show has really done that, like made a commentary on itself. And it's also a good episode for Picard. It's a good general episode for the sort of like it's a very Star Trek-y episode, I guess.
Crusher's hair looks fantastic.
Crusher's in good shape. She immediately supplants the primitive doctors and just bosses them around and tells them what to do.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking, the way that she and Worf just appear at the end, why didn't they just do that in the first place? Because they didn't know where Riker was or something?
The weird thing.
Once they make contact with that initial woman, why can't they just be like, we need... Because they're like, you got to keep this under your hat. We got to find this guy of ours. And then why doesn't she just go and find him and tell him where he is so they can beam him out of there
and avoid
this entire problem?
Well, it's the same thing that it implies that they don't give him his communicator, right? So that's sort of the implication that you need your communicator to get beamed up. But that flies in the face of all the times they've just beamed up random people. And you start to wonder, like, why can't you just find this this person? You must be able to scan the planet for the only human, bioscience or whatever.
We know they can do that, at least, because of that fucking awful Angel One episode where they're like, we know where they are because there is a trace amount of platinum.
Yeah.
Or something stupid like that.
Yeah, it was their coins or whatever they were carrying around. Yeah, that's it's a good point. It certainly builds towards the drama. It's one of those sci-fi things. You just need that one throwaway line where they're like, all their buildings are made of blah blah blah. You know, and we can't scan through blah blah blah.
Right.
And that never really happens.
I think, you know, it's tough because I understand using Riker as a catalyst for the episode because the episode is good. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the concepts they were dealing with. I enjoyed most of the execution of the A story. But I feel like the Riker stuff was so throwaway.
Yes.
And because of those questions that I was just asking, it's like, I don't know. I feel like they maybe could have done something different. I don't know what it would be, but
would you want him to sort of befriend an alien? He never really makes a friend, you know, which was kind of surprising to me. He never meets anyone that he convinces, like he changes their perspective or anything like that.
Right.
I don't know if I would have enjoyed watching that, but it's something that they could have done, I suppose.
I guess maybe I'm thinking, why not have him? Why don't they do to him what they do to aliens in like every episode of the X-Files when the government finds an alien?
Yeah,
and, like you know, or something. If you're going to go down that parallel, why not continue down that parallel?
Yeah, the interrogation scene is not effect. Like I feel during the interrogation scene, Riker should have been like visibly distressed. You know, like he's very close to dying. All you really get is him meekly answering, and then Crusher appears and is like, Riker is near death. We need to get him out here. If he had undergone some sort of like, it was clear that he was in a lot of pain or something, and you know, this interrogation is killing him, maybe it would have put a little bit more drama into that section.
Yeah, or if, I mean, I know obviously you only have X amount of dollars, but if you have him get out, so you've got, you know, basically you've got two sides of the same coin trying to keep him under wraps for their own reasons while he's out among the people, and they're both sides are trying to find him.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe something like that.
Yeah, it's
instead of keeping him in what I guess was the Miami of this planet, because that hospital was just like pastel colors everywhere.
It was a very I was trying to figure out what show they used that set for or something, because it looks like it was like straight out of a Golden Girls episode or something.
Yeah.
Like you would just toss them in. I like the fact that Riker gets a little ass kicking. It seemed interesting that would be the way that they'd go about things. He gets his injuries re-injured or whatever, and gets sent back to the hospital bed. But
yeah, I almost kind of wish that after that happened, I was kind of wishing that he had been the one who initiated the "we should bone so I can get out of here" thing, because at least that way the joke would have been it didn't work.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, this is the way he gets out of everything, but then he just gets his spleen stomped in when he escapes.
This one time. His prostate is fine, but not his not his spleen. Yeah, it's. I mean, I guess the major sort of point of this one is really just sort of a. It's a first contact type situation. It's an interesting sort of allegory for how humanity would react with these things if they came down on themselves. I like the ending. I think it makes I think it makes sense. It's the only way that this story really becomes a story is if they refuse to deal with us.
Yeah, I agree. I do like the ending as well. I wonder if the person who came up with the idea wrote the story backwards from the idea of, oh, well, what if the Roswell aliens were the aliens from the Enterprise?
Yep.
You know, because that's, you know, obviously that's the way he describes how his society is going to handle this in the future.
Yep.
Which is, you know, kind of an interesting idea. It's a good place to start. But aside from that, I think him rejecting them at the moment is probably the best way to go. I mean, otherwise, what? They say, yeah, let's do it.
Right, and then, so they wipe everything clean, and it's fine. So here's my philosophical question for you. Is how the Federation handles first contact in this episode ethical? The show, to its credit, says Picard has a line about there was a lot of debate about whether or not we should do it this way, and there are still questions about it. But the show seems to think that the Federation is okay with doing it this way, which is basically you send down essentially spies into a situation where they can gather intelligence about people and sort of prime them for, or prime the Federation for how to make a good first impression.
Well, I think if they do it, well, I don't know, that's tough. Cause I mean, arguably if they do it more like they did it in that other episode where it's just kind of a bunch of people in a bunker taking notes,
yep,
then it's not as bad as it is if you've got, you know,
people pretending to be.
Yeah, if you've got the they live scenario where they're all there but you just can't see them kind of thing. That's pretty creepy.
It is, yeah. It's an interesting. I would agree. I think that the Who Watches the Watchers way is a better way to do it than have people sort of sent out into the world, which is seemingly a lot of risk to have just people who basically have no backstory. And I guess bad move on Crusher's part to not surgically alter his hands. A little bit. Yeah. So, I don't know why they stopped short of doing the whole nine yards to make that obvious.
After Riker talked about having cosmetic surgery, all I could think about was Team America,
yep,
where they surgically alter him to look like someone from the Middle East. is this the first mention of the cause of the war between the Federation and the Klingons?
It might be. If it's not mentioned in the original series, it definitely is. And it's also... That's exactly the same story between the Romulan and Federation interaction.
Oh, is it really?
It's like disastrous first contact led to a war between the two.
I guess it's good they changed their approach then.
Yeah, so I guess whatever they were doing was clearly not working. And what's the... Enterprise has to go through great leaps. There's an episode of Enterprise where they meet the Romulans for the first time and it goes bad. But for some reason, they can't see the Romulans. Which is because you in Balance of Terror, they, you know, Kirk mentions that they've never seen Romulans, and that reveals the whole the Vulcans are actually Romulans, or they're related to each other.
Oh, that kind of hamstrings you for prequel stuff.
It really does. Yeah, that's not a line that you want to throw into a TV show if you plan on doing any kind of prequel work. So they have to pull a lot of strings to do it. So I think we've talked enough about this one. I like this one.
The one other thing I wanted to mention.
Sure.
So they just take the head of their space program at the end?
Yes, apparently. the head of their warp drive.
Why is the guy, the leader, okay with that?
He has a justification about she won't be happy here. He's kind of a nice guy. He's kind of pleasant enough to, you know, he's willing to he's buddy-buddy with the sort of xenophobic fascist guy. So yeah. he's
well,
okay with
I
them.
I guess I was thinking, like, why don't you have, instead of Picard saying, you know, get her a room in a poorly fitting uniform,
yep,
why doesn't he say to her something like, you know, we're not going to take you now, but we're going to leave you here so you can continue your work so one day you will be ready, or something like that.
Right,
you know?
Or I called him an emperor, the prime minister or whatever, who couldn't just be like, we need people like you to, you know, prime the rest of our people. You know, something like we need all the help we can get, so why don't you stay? Because she's also, you know, she's really not up to snuff with Federation standards. You know, she just mm-hmm. barely figured out warp drive. Everyone else is going to sort of be advancing well beyond her capabilities about what she can do.
And, like, what does she do? Do they pick her up and be like, okay, well, we're going to drop you off at the space station, which is going to send you back to this place called Earth, at a place called San Francisco, where you're going to go to an academy for 5 years.
That's right.
And then once you complete your academy training, then maybe you'll get on a ship and go back to space.
Maybe you can come back. Maybe you can't meet your people. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to make the friends on the Enterprise again or whatever. But, yeah, I agree. It's kind of a weird...
Does she ever show up again?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You'd think you'd see her in the background or something. Too big of an actress, I guess, but who knows? Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. whoever she may be. I have one question for you before we go to final thoughts.
Yeah.
Is Geordi in this episode? I thought I read trivia where he is in the only episodes he missed are an earlier season, I think. And I can't remember him being in this episode, though. Does he have a minor appearance in the beginning or something?
I don't know. Well, because the beginning is just all on the planet.
All on Riker. And then Picard beams down with Troi.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's interesting. Anyone, let me know in the comments if he's not in this. I'm surprised because it seems like LaForge is not in a lot of episodes. He makes it up in the next episode, of course. But
yeah, does he ever?
We'll get to that shortly. So let's go to final thoughts, Clay. I'm going to take a break, play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back and give our final rating, final thoughts for this episode of First Contact.
And if I should tell you to leave and never return to my world?
We will leave and never return. Chancellor, we are here only to help guide you into a new era. I can assure you we will not interfere in the natural development of your planet. That is, in fact, our prime directive.
I can infer from that directive that you do not intend to share all this exceptional technology with us.
That is not the whole meaning, but it is part of it.
Is this your way of maintaining superiority?
Chancellor, to instantly transform a society with technology would be harmful, and it would be destructive.
First Contact, not the movie, the episode. I like this episode. I'm interested in what you're going to rate it, because I'm having a hard time nailing down what I want to do. So how about you let me know what you thought of this one?
I think I'm going to go high three.
High three.
Yeah. Because, you know, like I've said a lot in the past, it deals with a lot of interesting topics, and a lot of times I feel like that's more interesting than whatever plot contrivances there may or may not be.
Yep.
But the Riker stuff just doesn't – it's not all there. And, you know, the other thing about these episodes, these Prime Directive episodes that are tough is – and I think they kind of – expose it a little bit towards the end when the Supreme Chancellor or whatever the hell his name is talking to Picard. I think this happens, and I didn't just make this up. Where there's a conversational point where he's like, "Well, imagine if some alien race landed on your planet." And then does this conversation happen, or did this happen in the episode of the X-Files I just watched?
I think he kind of brings up a point. Like,
okay, well, my point is anyway. These Prime Directive episodes, I've been watching a lot of sci-fi shit this past week.
Star Wars is not sci-fi, goddammit.
No, it's not.
There we go.
And you know what? Not to go on a tangent, but there's nothing I enjoy less than listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about Star Wars. That's like listening to the older kid at school tell you that Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, great, you know that. Who cares?
He's been real. Yeah, I don't know why he does that on Twitter.
There is nobody who's. Point of views on most movies I could care about less than his.
I mean, does he seriously think people are out there, like, or does he think that anyone is being like, oh my god, like, I can't believe that none of this in Star Wars is actually what's happening in
space? Yeah,
in
I don't space. Know. It just seems... Anyway, sorry about that. The problem with these Prime Directive episodes, and they have the same problem in Who Watches the Watchmen, is there's... The scope is small enough that you can effectively tell the story you're trying to tell.
Yep.
But if you really think about it, the scope is way too small to be realistic.
Well, that's funny. I mean, it's kind of a plug for our Star Wars podcast. People can check that out. But I feel that's kind of the weird issue with Star Wars. Like, it's mm-hmm. you have to focus on this small story, even though the global implications are huge. Or not even, it's beyond global. It's like intergalactic implications mm-hmm. are huge. In Star Trek, it's smaller. It's a global implication. But
But in this, it's like, you know, in Star Wars, you have it's clearly laid out from the get go that you're dealing with the Galactic Empire.
Yep.
So it's something that stretches across multiple planets.
Yep.
But in this, you're only dealing with one guy. It's like if Picard showed up and just talked to the President of the United States.
Yes.
Like, yep. At no point are you given any indication that there are other groups of people on this planet, how big the planet is. This one guy is the person making the decision on whether or not this entire planet gets to experience this, you know, this ascension of their culture, you know? It works fine for the story they're trying to tell, and obviously it's an hour-long television show, but I don't know. It's sometimes that stuff is like, well, I don't know. That would be kind of interesting if they did explore that.
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't think this is the episode for it, but there's a version of this episode where Riker is found at the beginning, you know, by a group of those aliens,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they become suspicious. Instead, they get around it by basically putting him in a hospital with, like, the greatest doctor on the planet who's like, no one can know about this patient. Like, he takes patient confidentiality to, like, the highest level that it could possibly be at.
Right.
And that's how they get around it. But there is a version of this where it's kind of what Who Watches the Watchers did. Like, they created more of a panic in that episode
mm-hmm.
around it. And they're... But their interpretation of it was much more religious and sort of tribal mm-hmm. than this group are. This group are clearly humans who think that extraterrestrials have landed on their planet.
Yeah, it's you know, I just keep thinking about it. It's like, well, I don't know. Picard showing up and dealing with that one woman and then dealing with that one guy is like if they landed in Russia or something, you know?
Yeah, I have one problem with this, I guess. It's kind of interesting. The second time Picard beams down, right, and the first time he meets with the Chancellor,
mm-hmm.
that secretary for the Chancellor handles his fucking business. An alien shows up and he just buzzes in and says, there's a guest here to see you. I couldn't believe that. Why didn't they just have Picard beam down into the chamber with him? That was a crazy thing to have him walk in after getting buzzed in.
Yeah. Yeah. that doesn't make much sense.
That was a weird thing, but I like this episode. I think I'm going to give it a 4. I think it's strong. I think I've as I mentioned in the sort of intro here, I've been away from Star Trek for a little bit. I think I might need to recalibrate. Like I think the Star Wars thing has kind of knocked my perception off. I think this is a 4 for this mm-hmm. episode. It's pretty good. There's no obvious problems with it. It's as philosophical as Trek possibly can get with the sort of flawed idea of the Prime Directive in the first place.
Yep.
And I think it's enjoyable enough to watch. It's really, you can nitpick it for the sort of constraints that a 45-minute program have to deal with. But I think it's pretty solid. It's lacking a little bit in Riker's storyline where he's just sort of laid up and can't really do anything. But yeah.
It's been so long since I've done one of these. I kind of forget where my markers are.
Right, yeah.
But I went into this one not expecting to like it, and I came away liking it quite a bit.
Yep.
But I don't know. I just don't think it's quite... For me, anyway, it's not quite there enough for me to bump it completely out of the average range.
Zone. Yeah, that makes sense. What's surprising, this episode shows up on a lot of top 10 lists. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I guess it kind of does. It's a very unassuming one to be on there. Is it like the hip pick for the top 10 to show that you're like a real Star Trek guy?
It might be yeah. Sort of like I'm sure a lot of them are. Oh, well, a lot of them do have the caveat of like this is the Prime Directive episode to see.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like so, if you want to show what that's about, I suppose that's what this episode would be. But I'd have a hard time putting it in the top 10. I think it's solid though. Well, that's what it is. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, like in the comments. Appreciate it if you're on iTunes, rating, review. I appreciate all the comments that have been coming in. YouTube comments have been very fun over the past couple weeks. I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much for listening. Clay, thank you for coming on.
Hey, anytime.
You're going to be here in a couple days with Galaxy's Child, and I'm interested to see what you think about that one. So we're going to cut it off here, and I'll see you guys in a couple days.